What do I call you? Do you go by John? Do you go by John Scott? Do you go by the luckiest man in the world? What?
No, the most interesting.
The most interesting man in the world. Yes, that's what I did used to use. Then you told me all these places and famous golf courses, and then I'm thinking, no, you're not lucky. All right, the most interesting man in America. Generally, to be on the show tonight, I think you had to be 70. How old are you?
I'm not answering that question, but I'm not 70.
Okay, we made a pass because you're so famous as an author and all the different publications you've worked for, and you did do, when was the article, and where can people find it on Bob Uecker?
Okay, it was late last season. I chased him all season long with your help and then with the help of Kent Sommerfeld. And it was made clear to me by our producer and engineer, Kent Sommerfeld, made it very clear that it would be, if it was going to happen, it would be out of the blue, last minute. So I would just have to, for weeks and months, hang on the phone and see if it came my way. And it finally did in late in the season. And you can find it under, it's at Barron's Magazine, so that's just BARRONS.com. Or you can search just Uecker and my last name, it'll come up.
That last name would be LEWINSKI.
Thank you.
All right, what was it like? Correct. You'd never met him before, I don't think, had you?
No, it takes a lot at this point, because I'm almost 70, that I don't get nervous much in this job. I got nervous talking to you, of course, and then beyond that, it takes
nice.
Something to get me worked up. And I was nervous going into this because I can remember him calling six Olescano Grand Slams and such when I was a toddler, almost. I don't know baseball without him, so I'm very keyed up for the interview. And then he's just as sharp and as a matter of fact.
So where did it end up being? The specifics of how that played out? All of a sudden, one day you get a call? Or
yes, exactly right. I'm gardening at the time, and I get a call from producer and engineer Ken Sommerfeld telling me, it's how about now? And I'm filthy, and I've got dirt all over the place. I had to run and find like an old notepad and a pencil in my garage and just said, hey, if you're ready, shoot, I'll be here. He said, I'll call you back in 2 minutes. And he did. But just as I pick up the phone, I hear Mr. Baseball's voice in the background, and I'll bleep this, but he basically said, make sure he puts it on effing speakerphone. So
yeah.
I put it on effing speakerphone. And it couldn't have gone better. The trickiest thing was Barron's and Wall Street Journal and the publications that I write for. These particular two, like if you talk philanthropy, because it's a wealthy readership, and they kind of go back and forth on what causes to donate money to and such. And I pushed on that, but he wasn't big on. He certainly was happy to do it and liked doing it, but he wasn't big on talking it up. But Homer, you do a ton of charity work. You don't talk it up. You don't go on and on about
Correct.
It. So he wouldn't either. But I sort of had to nudge him along, and I got some of that out because the amount of causes he contributed to over the years would, you know, I wrote 1,200 words. I could have done 1,200 words just on that. And he just sort of shrugged it off, saying, if anybody needs my help or something, I'll do it. No questions asked. And late in his life, he lost a daughter to ALS, to Lou Gehrig's disease. And he spent a lot of his later years, I know, working with those charities to raise money for ALS research.
So what else did you ask him about? He's 90, 89, I don't know.
I had some selfish things I wanted to ask him. I wanted to ask him where he came up with his deadpan style. I don't think people realize that after he played his brief career, he went into stand-up first. He was a stand-up comic for a little while.
Really? I didn't know that.
And he would do like the MC circuit. So like an after-dinner speaker,
sure.
But as a comic. And he said those environments, silliness, didn't play. He said it was partly his Milwaukee upbringing. The Midwestern upbringing is not necessarily silly. And he said it was just played better if he made himself the joke. And he spent however many years, 30, 40 years, making it 50 years, making himself the joke and playing it straight and just getting a ton more laughs that way than any other. You never saw him crack up at his own gag, ever.
Yeah, it's correct.
So the kind of thing I wanted to know was about that. And I didn't want to ask him here's another problem when you're interviewing a guy who's sharp, 90 years old, and a media legend, is what could I come up with that he hasn't already said or been asked?
And?
So the best I could do is some of those philanthropy questions, because in other words, you know, I couldn't. He was just so cool and so sort of kicked back and called me Johnny all the time. And the only people who call me Johnny is my mom. But it was okay for the legend. And I'm not ashamed to say I wept today. I cried out loud like a baby with him because I knew he's the voice of summer. He's the voice of, I know nothing about baseball without him. So it's going to be a really strange season for me and a lot of other people I know where come spring training, he's not there.
You get 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And someone asks, what will you remember about the interview that you did with Bob Uecker, Johnny, at 89?
Thinking the whole time that, wow, I'm interviewing Bob Uecker, which I had to kick out of my head. Sort of being outside of myself and watching me do it as if I want to tell the 12-year-old me who's watching the 82 World Series, I want to tell him, hey, I'm interviewing Bob Uecker. Do you see this? Then he got to snap back and go to work. But I think he was very used to that sort of worship, that hero worship from baseball nerds and people from Milwaukee and everything else. I think he was very accustomed to that. So I think he sensed that with me, that I probably was a little starstruck, even at this level of experience that I've got. And he just sort of shrugged it off. It was very friendly, very down to earth.
And so now, what's next? You've done Bob Uecker at 89. What's, because I'm sure you're going to go to the golf course in Antarctica, or you're going to Mars or something. You're getting on one of those rockets.
Yeah. My next exotic course is Greece. We'll play golf in Greece and do a story over there. But the next thing all we golf writers do, we got to go down to Orlando at the PGA Equipment Show and see all the clubs being designed by artificial intelligence now.
Really?
So your next set of clubs will be AI designed.
What is that? What does that mean? They give them all the various information on past clubs, and AI comes up with.
For one extent, it depends how much money you got, Homer. For a high roller like you, you'll be able to go get fitted on a computer with computer assisted tech, and the computer will design your clubs to fit your needs.
Right, like everything else, they find a way to eliminate the need for people. All right, I got it now.
It doesn't mean your game's going to get any better. That's the great thing about golf equipment, is if your game's lousy, they'll try to sell you something that'll convince you it'll be better.
Thanks for the info on the last interview Bob Uecker ever did. Thanks, most interesting man in America.
Thank you, Homer. I'll see you soon.
John Scott Lewinsky. Look him up, and again, you go to Barron's and get the article that was done this past summer. Thanks again to Kent Sommerfeld, the producer for Brewer Baseball and also Marquette Basketball. I am next.
Welcome back to the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
The old man, other than John Scott Lewinsky, we don't know exactly how old he is, but he's not 70. No one can give the greatest tribute to Bob Uecker other than people that are old because they experienced him for so long. The biggest Bucks fans deserve big Bucks prizes. And now it's your time to show us your Bucks. If you already have a Bucks tattoo or a design in mind, your time to shine is now. Send a picture of your Bucks ink at ESPN Milwaukee on social media by Monday, by this upcoming Monday, and you could win 2 lower-level tickets to see the Bucks take on Denver. And while you send in your Bucks ink to ESPN Milwaukee on social media, don't forget to vote for your favorite Bucks for the All-Star Game, the 2025 All-Star Game. Vote now at Bucks.com/All-Star. So my thanks to Jerry Augustine, the doctor of pitching, Johnny Mack, John McLaughlin, of course, the famous author, the most interesting man in America, or maybe in the world, John Scott Lewinsky. Our Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. Who are you going to pick? You got a choice. And I was curious of this because I have a wager with someone where I have the rest of the league and they have the Kansas City Chiefs. What are our numbers, Pebble? I can't get them up for some reason. Oh, here I got them up. 77% are taking another NFL team. 23% taking the Kansas City Chiefs. National next. Oh, the Marquette Basketball Show with Shaka Smart. That's right. I got too much euchre to realize. Number 7 in the country. Shaka Smart with Jen Latta. And I think, who's the guest tonight? Chase Ross? No, Stevie Mitchell. Yes, 4.0. They have not gotten approval of the NCAA. I claim his jersey should be changed from 4 to 4.0. And for anybody who wears 4, if they have a 4.0 grade point at their specific school, they should be allowed to be 4.0. No luck yet. That's next.